tonight, eh? Old Bill? Can you?
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
Let's hit it! A lot of you people might be wondering, where is Chad Shank during all these podcasts? Well, maybe we did them all in a row because we were having a fantastic day drinking. Chad Shank, a beloved member of the podcast. Don't worry, we'll still pay him out. But yeah, we had to get some shit out because we're all going to be gone. We are gone.
Our shit,
when you're listening to this, we're fucking gone.
Literally and figuratively.
Tom Konopka's here. Jonathan Short is here. Chaley's always here, but he's not always here. Hence the reason we have to do all this shit in same day. They're called evergreens, meaning you don't know that we taped this a month ago or more. Oh, shit. I just let that cat out of the bag. I let the cat out of the bag. Valentina Restrepo, who wants her full name used. I talked to her because you've probably heard us mention this incident on a couple of podcasts where Valentina Restrepo from the FRIP.
Florence Immigrant and Refugee Rights Project.
If you haven't heard that podcast, she's a lawyer that focuses specifically the most niche focus of any lawyer. She represents illegal aliens with mental illness that are about to be deported, that are in detention camps. That's a very, I always say that I have a niche audience of school shooters that didn't have bullets. That's my go-to line. Yeah, we have similar but different angles in our law and or comedy.
Yeah, you've been out niched.
So I've brought it up that she has no friends at all because she's a fake queer and she's got a lot of problems. She can't find a man or a woman.
But she has a great name.
She plays soccer. And I don't know if
selling me?
I'm trying to. We're going to start a dating app. Stanhope fans dating app. I can't tell you how many people have told me, hey, I had a blind date or a first date, and I decided to play your DVD for them. And if they didn't laugh.
Yeah, it was the last date.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the litmus test.
Yeah,
I suggest the other way. You want to break up with someone, but you don't want to break up. Take him to a Stanhope show. It's a good story at the merch booth.
I'm going to get off topic if you keep going with this line of questioning, Your Honor.
That was good.
Hey, by the way, Restrepo's first podcast was episode 277, Crazy and Illegal. Who are you going to call? So that was when she first was on the
podcast. Thank you,
and she's been coming down ever since. Football fan. She's got Pat the Patriot, the old school Patriot guy on the helmet tattooed on her arm.
Good one.
My client told me that the reason that the Patriots always win is because the Masons are paying Tom Brady.
Well, that's true.
If you've not watched The Ninth Configuration, one of my favorite movies of all time, it's Stacy Keach plays he's a crazy person running a insane asylum. And that's Restrepo, Javelina. Yeah, she's got her own mental illness, like bingo going on.
Yeah. Yep.
But functional. Yeah. Functional. She's freeing people every day. She's fucking working hard. Fripp, please donate to that. Chaley will have the link. So you're coming out of here some weeks or months ago.
I'm here like every other weekend, and I always go the Benson way.
For the listener, when you come into Bisbee, you're fine, but leaving Bisbee, Border Patrol has either a 50 or a 100 mile radius where they set up border checkpoints. So when you leave Bisbee right at the border, you're going to have to go through a border checkpoint.
They don't care when you're coming down. They just care when you're coming back up.
Venus flytrap of drugs. So if you have drugs, bring them in, but leave them here.
If it's windy, they close it because the dogs can't work.
Or rainy.
Yeah. It was a dog that got me.
Fucking dogs.
Okay. Are we saving questions to later? Because I just went through it, and I got fresh eyes now and watching what they're doing. I have a couple questions. I'm going to write them down. We'll do the questions later because I'm very curious about what is perceived as routine. May not be legal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to write those down. Doug, go through your thing, but right. I do want to have a question and answer at the end.
Well, Javelina here, she's got her medical marijuana card. Arizona, the state, medicinal marijuana, no problem in the state. And that's how you maintain. And it's what you do.
Yeah, I'm bipolar. I've been smoking weed forever. It really, really helps. I was smoking in California because that's where I went to law school and it was pretty relaxed. But then I moved to Alabama and obviously it was terrible. And I saw people every day getting locked up for it. And it was absolutely ridiculous. And part of the reason that I moved to Arizona was because medical marijuana is legal. And I came and I got it because of, the side effects of the medicine that I take for my bipolar disorder. And I obviously bring it down here and then take it back up. And I've never had a problem.
Since the beginning of football season, I remember it was August when you came here and then we started talking shit about football and you've come down for most of football this season.
They never even ask for my driver's license. They usually just wave at me and have me go through. And this time the dog was coming around. Well, I went the Sierra Vista way and the dog was coming around and wagging its tail and getting excited about my back seat. And I said, oh, is it about the weed? Cause I have weed on me thinking, oh, this is totally fine. I'll show him my card. I'll do whatever. And they're like, we'll take care of it over here. And they pulled me into the little tent
secondary
space.
Screening.
And
it's Arizona as well. It's like, wave a gun at them. Is it about the gun? No, that's fine. It's true.
I mean, I jumped out and I opened my trunk thinking this is not a problem at all. And they said, all right, well, we're going to have to confiscate that. And I said, oh, okay, but I'm in Arizona. It's legal. And they said, well, it's legal in Arizona, but we're at a federal checkpoint.
Duh.
And they said, do you ever come through here? And I was like, yeah, I go up and down from Bisbee all the time. And they were kind of embarrassed, like, why have we never caught you?
Right.
And the dog was excited. They fed the dog the treat. I flipped out, absolutely flipped out, and just started crying and telling them I moved to this fucking state so I could smoke fucking weed in fucking peace. I'm bipolar. Is this why you got into the Customs and Border Patrol? So you could take legal weed from people who need it. And I was just freaking out at them. And they came back and they said, well, we can write you a citation. We can have the police come and write you a citation. I was like, that makes no fucking sense because it would have to be the state or county police. Like, if you could write me a citation, then you would, but you can't.
Well, it all started with, but you're going through a federal checkpoint. Then wouldn't someone from the federal government have to fucking write you a citation?
Exactly.
They're spewing their own bullshit and they're not even checking it. They're telemarketers reading a fucking directory tree. If yes, go here. If no, go here. But it doesn't make sense.
And they wouldn't give me a receipt and it drove me fucking insane because I want some kind, like I got into this shit with TSA before and maybe it's because I'm mentally ill and flip out at authority, but it happens. And
I just want to stop you for a second because your dad.
My dad
Colombian,
trained me.
Your dad, who's a loose cannon, he's Colombian, he's flying back to Colombia, and he had a problem with TSA during the government shutdown, and he's flying back, and what happened?
He asked them, are you still not getting paid? And they said, no, sir, we're not. And he just told them, good.
Holy shit.
He's on his way out. So that's a safe bet on your way out.
By the way, Restrepo's parents are divorced, but they still live in an RV together.
It's so true.
Let's paint the picture accurately.
She's got a colorful background.
Yeah. He's shouting at obscenities in Spanish to each other through the four mica wall.
Absolutely. Those are our FaceTime conversations.
You started crying, which is not a good lawyer move.
I also did a costume change in the middle because I'd gone hiking earlier in the day, so I was wearing shorts and a tank top. But then leaving here, I just put on this like flannel robe that I found. So when I first got out of the car screaming and crying, or
in
the
flannel bathroom,
I'm just wearing this enormous, I don't even know. And so then I got heated, and at that point I was like, okay, I'm going to be a lawyer now. Like, I'm going to pull it together and just wipe the tears from my face, took off the flannel robe, took out my phone, was like, I need all of your names. And then I started taking down their names. And one of them comes over at one point. He's like, we really don't want to hurt you, ma'am. You know, we're sympathetic.
Jesus Christ.
We're sympathetic to what you go through, and I understand why you need to smoke the marijuana. And I was like, dude, no, absolutely not. Like, this is what you do. Like, this is what you do for a living. Like, fucking own it. Don't have me apologize to you for, like, the breakdown that you fucking caused me. Fuck you. Yeah. Like,
I remember a comedian that was talking about something similar where, like, no, you chose the profession where you look in my ass. You wanted this. Like, you had to go to school to look in my ass.
This is a callback. No, I boo you.
Mike DiStefano, God rest your soul. Come back soon.
Well, for context, essentially, if you're a PD, you read police reports.
Public defender?
If you're a public defender, you read police reports, which are hilarious because cops in most places that you're a public defender don't know grammar, how to spell, and it makes everything more entertaining. But if you do deportation defense, you're reading CBP reports, Customs and Border Patrol reports. So every day I read about my clients getting found in the desert and hear about them getting the shit kicked out of them, and it's these same guys, and it's just like, you don't even, I don't know how many things they need to patrol or control for before they're happy or satisfied. I don't know really what the policy angle is,
but, like, they said the dog hit on your car.
Oh, absolutely. And I saw the dog in my rearview mirror. So, like, he came around, and
I got a question. Now this might seem a little conspiracy theory, but dogs are trainable.
Absolutely.
Can't you train a dog to do a hit even though they don't fucking hit? You know what I'm saying?
They do that. That's commonplace.
It seems like an easy thing since it's something you trained to recognize an illicit drug. Can't you also go, but if I snap my fingers, you will fucking make that.
No.
Or tap. I've seen them tap, and I was like, isn't that telling them
I'll play
something?
Conspiracy with you, because I just totaled my car and had to get a new car, and I still don't have the plates on it. So it's still the, like, the sort of printout,
the temporary license.
Sorry, exactly. She hasn't had a lot of new cars, but it's usually good for like 3 months.
That's why.
So that was what you went through. So they thought that might be a.
And they started asking about it. They were like, "Oh no!" And it's like, I'm not running drugs.
There's
like,
fucking numbers fucking on bipolar. There. There's a computer that you use to put the fucking numbers in. What is the dog? The dog can't read the fucking numbers.
There's two well-trained dogs just there. On the screen.
They did the whole treat thing and everything. They then put the weed behind in the trunk of the car, and then held a bone behind their arm.
Oh, they're training at your expense.
And show them the treat and give them the treat from the weed.
Now, if I turn this ace over, oh, look, here's your car.
Ta-da.
So when Border Patrol asks you to pull over, don't say, I have a bunch of legal weed in my car.
Have you ever watched, I've gone down YouTube wormholes of people that fuck with border checkpoints here on purpose. Oh, no, it's a constitution. I'm not going to tell you my name. I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm not going to tell you shit. I'm filming this. I'm filming this. I forget what they're called, but yeah, people just fucking, they're, yeah, I hate to say, there's a lot of Alex Jones InfoWars kind of people where you go, that guy's a piece of shit, but I understand that, yeah, you don't have any obligation to tell him anything. I'm fucking in Arizona. I'm not at the border. I'm not crossing a border. You have this leeway.
Right.
So you went from crying to fuck you.
I went
Let me ask you a question. You
to be
fuck you.
I didn't do this. I did not do this, and I wouldn't do this, but I thought so long and hard about doing this. I wanted so badly to just be like, I'm here from the ACLU. I want to see what your practices are and just pretend that I was going to be part
you
of
told
a larger
me all
scheme
of the,
to-
Every one of us on these mics and in the listening audience has that, oh, fuck, 20 minutes later, I should have done this. Yeah. Whether it's a fist fight at a bar, I walked away, but I could have done this.
Yeah.
The French you had have, all those.
The French have a phrase for what I should have said at the time.
You know, it's the same way
yeah, and it's
Germans
it's,
have Schadenfreude. The French have,
they,
I should have said
is,
this instead of
what
surrender.
What it is in French is the wit of the stairs.
Ah.
So as you're walking down away from leading, it, it's yeah. what you should have said at that kind of, it's the latency and your sort of wit.
That's fucking great. Great.
Oh, the name of the podcast?
Some listeners will look it up.
Oh, that's actually great. Yeah. It'll make people go, oh, do I want to listen to this or not? The wit of the stairs.
All right. I have at least one question because I asked the other
Wait,
one.
Wait, I think we're at break point.
Yeah, we're at break point.
Save your question. Leave the listeners wanting some.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm teasing it. But
I'm getting a boner.
Are your bosses aware? Did you talk to your bosses about what was going on?
I made a joke about it at our all staff meeting.
Yeah. All right, so maybe we'll talk about what they said, and then we'll. I have a question that right, just last night something happened to Border Patrol.
Okay,
yeah,
I've got a.
Oh, good.
I want to mention her ID.
Oh, I'll grab it so what? We can read it because they told me. Oh, sorry, they
wait, save it, okay. Save it, save it, whore.
I'm going to
whore,
get
whore,
it.
Shut up, whore.
You're a whore.
This is an inside joke. All right. I don't call ladies on the podcast whores unless we do it personally.
Unless they
click.
Get, unless they
cocktails! Get cocktails! Enough said. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of the Doug Stanhope podcast a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at stanhope.robinhood.com. That's stanhope.robinhood.com. Hey, we're back. Javelina. Now, you said you were going to, you thought after the fact, the wit of the stairs, as Jonathan has blessed
us with.
No,
I thought during and
with.
Stopped myself.
Okay. Also, you have your ID because you have to visit all these people. You know I don't have my reading glasses on. I got it. I don't have to read it. You have an ID to get into these detention centers for your job. That you're blessed by the Department of Homeland Security.
I did not show that ID.
Well, you told me that when you've been fucked with around detention centers, if you show that ID and then they realize, oh, wait, she's not actually Department of Homeland Security. She's actually working against them, but she still has, like,
yes, we have similar access.
Flip that out. Like, yeah, I'm Department of Homeland Security. You are making basically minimum wage. What's your name tag say? I have the ID. I don't have a name tag. You have a name tag. I think I win.
I should get a badge.
You should. A badge, but not a name tag. Officer what and what?
So it's issued by the Arizona Department of Health Services. And when they confiscated my weed, they told me to read, they waved the card in my face and told me to read the first line, which says, possessing marijuana may violate local, state, and federal laws, and this card may not provide legal protection. But I'm not, I
That's
just don't
the fine
understand.
Print on the back.
It's Customs and Border Patrol. The point is to keep things from outside the United States out of the United States. This is from the United States. I had it in Tucson. I just brought it down to Bisbee.
You bought it from a business that has a business license. You know what I mean? Yes. They have a business license to sell the weed.
For the listener as well, it's worth pointing out that Valentina is
heavily
incredibly beautiful to the level where she is that perfect level of very beautiful that it's not really beautiful, well, and it's a pain in the ass.
For the listener, she's hot for a girl.
If you're into that shit. If you're into it. If you're into it.
But if you're earning 18 grand as a sort of, you know, stumping on Mexicans' heads, you know, as the benefit sort of thing, she's a hot chick to you.
But she's
the perfect level of beauty. You've got to vision this.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So, do you ever find that where, like, have you ever been pulled over just because you're a hot chick that's alone?
No, but I think being a woman that's alone, if you use a certain pitch, then people just assume you're lost and feel bad for you and let you off
you have
and
a
think
pitch
you're
that
silly.
Makes you sound kind of like a dude.
No, this is my this is my actual pitch, but you can hello officer. Hi.
Oh, I've heard her on business calls, and her voice goes up 9 octaves, and she's like, hi, this is Valentina Restrepo.
Hi, this is Valentina Restrepo Montoya from the Florence Project. How may I help you?
Oh, fucking hilarious.
Every time.
I mean, Doug, you and Tom Konopka. It's the boiler room pitch. You have an attitude. You're smiling.
Name is June.
His walk changes too when he starts playing Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, when he paces out front. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
No, that, interesting. That was the same voice as Carmen the Anal Queen. Yeah. No, that was an actual Doug.
No, that was real. That actually comes from L.A. My first phone gig in the toner rooms in L.A.
Yep.
Where we'd call the 976 numbers. Back in the phone sex days. I don't even know if they have 900 numbers anymore, but they were like pay.
But the phones had cords taking you back.
Yeah. And you'd call phone sex. It was recorded shit. I'm Carmen the Anal Queen. And I was
pitching
18, so yeah. I was that kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. I have to go to the bathroom for a minute.
Oh, fuck.
Let's get back to Valentina, because Chaley has questions for Valentina Javelina. Frip. We have to...
Furp. Keep forgetting the R.
Florence... It's fucking the Florence Project.
Yeah,
just Google
that's it. You Google that, it'll come up.
Send them money.
Yeah, you send them money. You can sign up for a monthly subscription as well if you've got money. No, you can.
Yeah,
you can.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Oh, a monthly.
Pay a
monthly.
Okay. You get $10 a month or something.
Like a bill. Well, we don't use bill. That's
a tax.
I have a question. So going through the Border Patrol last night, which I don't usually go north in the evening because we have a practice of not leaving at night from here. There's no reason to. We've got booze and TV. But we roll up, and I do one thing that I do want to tell you about.
By the way, when you say the city that you went to over the border, say AP, because when I said how every fucking white person in Bisbee calls that town, Agua Prieta, which is what everyone says. And she laughed at me. I go, is my dick hanging out or something? I don't know why you're laughing. Because she says, I don't want
to. How come the not Russian kid got to say everything in his fucking language, but I can't speak in mine?
Because he doesn't speak English! You speak English perfectly! I'm doing James Inman right now! I'm jumping up and down! I told her when I first met her, I go, I hope you don't do that shit in court because most of the fucking justices you're talking in front of are fucking racist. So when you go, rah, 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 he's going to go, fuck this fucking half
again
or whatever you say. I'm saying it from the judge's point of view.
So how are we supposed to say Agua Prieta?
Agua Prieta.
AP. She can't fuck with AP. So go ahead.
Gringo.
So, as we're going through the border,
Gringo.
We're heading north, and we're hitting the border checkpoint that you got popped in. And what I do is when there's cameras, there's always a flash, and I always have my arm up, or I'm itching my whole face like a maniac. I'm doing something just so someone goes, "What the fuck is that?" But I don't think they have one clear shot of me. In the years that I've lived here, because I'm like,
good
fuck.
For you.
And
you wearing those glasses like you're playing racquetball in Agua Prieta?
I forgot my glasses, so I got these. But I used to do a thing where I'd be itching with my middle finger, but I thought that was a little too aggressive. So,
because they ruminate over every person.
Why the fuck are they taking my picture as a human driving from one spot to another in America? There is a federal agency taking your picture every time you move from point A to point B. That right there is fucked up, okay? And notwithstanding the dogs that they can train to do.
No, and there are cameras everywhere.
The dog can train to smell pot, but believe me, when I tap the side of your door, I'm not signaling the dog that I've trained to do everything else, but that is a fucking, that's a, hey buddy, what do you smell? It's fucking bullshit. Okay, so at the border stop, I always, Doug, back me up on this. When we drive through the border stop.
Me up! Junior Stopka, shout out, click.
Go ahead.
I always roll down the window on the passenger side or in the driver's side and behind me. Any windows behind me.
Yep.
So that they can look through. As the two cars in front of me, I notice the guy take his flashlight and then roll back through the windows. I'm like, well, he's doing that because they didn't roll down the windows. They're not smart enough to do that. And then I pull up, and he does the flashlight. I'm like, is that an illegal search? Is he entering my car in a way
with photons
that goes beyond my rolling down the windows?
No, I don't think so.
So they are allowed to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to sound so confident, but I believe that even cops, because, I mean, federal is always going to have more, because you say Homeland Security, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. But even your run-of-the-mill, like, county cop can look in, can put a flashlight in. That is not a search.
I've done it through your bedroom windows.
Blood from someone.
The flashlight, to me, is someone putting their hands up to the window to look through the tint. Is that fucking cool?
So there are cases, there's case law that actually breaks down how close you can get into a house in order to have seen something from the road type thing. Like, if you see it from the neighbor's house and he consented to you being there, but you're looking over the fence into the window, is that? Or if you're outside behind, past the garbage can, at what point have you given up the garbage can?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Like, there's case law finding where that line is. I think for flashing a light, you can't argue.
I fucking roll down the window.
I know,
asshole.
I know. And the more you help them, the more they fuck you over.
Yeah.
Is what we're learning.
Hey man, don't look under the carpet because I got a gram of coke.
So I've been through that checkpoint several times, and I've got a bit of a history because I'm a dirty immigrant. of getting into the country.
Stayed in the army.
When I was on like sort of different, different visas and things that I had in the past and things. I've got a green card now. But the checkpoint on the road leaving, I've been caught there. They've stopped me twice. Normally, because I'm just a fucking pudgy, you know, portly middle-aged white guy in a relatively new truck. They just wave me through.
America is known for racism against portly white guys.
So they normally
deny your white privilege even more.
But my favorite fuck you to those guys. And first I want to start, because I've had a history of coming in and out of the country on visas and travel visas and work visas and green cards and stuff. So I've had a bit of,
you know, an undesirable
interactions with these guys.
The
first thing I want to say is there's good guys and there's fucking arseholes. Like in that trade. And I've spoken to some people and they've been grilling me and they're fucking great and they're friendly and nice. I mean, I'm a middle-aged white guy, so they would be friendly and nice to me. And there's fucking dicks, often obese as well. A lot of them. So that's okay. But my favorite.
We got a crier over here. We got a crier. I might be able to fuck her.
My favorite fuck you to them, because they're, It was at the same checkpoint you did. They pulled me over, or they stopped me for. They didn't pull me over out of the lane of traffic. They just chatted to me, and like my accent gives myself away. And they said,
"Wait, you're they from said, somewhere
are,
else?"
They, no, he said, "Are you a citizen?" And I said, "No, but I've got a green card." And he said, "Can I see it?" And somebody was telling me, I think it was Joby, was saying that, yeah, they're not allowed to do that. But I did. I just got it out in my wallet. I have to carry my green card everywhere in my wallet all the time, legally. Mm-hmm. And I showed him my green card. And he said to me, "Oh, what do you do? Like, for work?" And I just nonchalantly said, "Oh, no, I'm retired." And, like, I'm an old fuck. I mean, I'm 45 next month and stuff. But I don't look too bad. I look like I still think I look too young to be retired.
You can be 18 and be retired.
That's it.
The Kardashians have never worked a fucking day in their life.
What I'm worrying about is that I look too old. You're retired. So I think I still look young enough to say, "Oh, yeah, I'm retired." Like, I've made a shitload of money. And he doesn't. He earns a fucking pittance, being a border guard. And I just nodded, "Oh, no, work. Christ, why would you do that sort of thing? You know, no, I'm retired." And I just think, I personally think that was my favorite fuck you to these guys, you know, fucking around with people like Valentina here, you know?
I was outraged that they made you cry.
Give
me any details that night. Talked about this the first time on a podcast, all I had was the few details you texted me.
I fucked up, though. As I was leaving, I rolled down my window, or it was already rolled down, and I told him, "You did a good job."
Queers! Queers!
Did you Puta!
Scream queers?
And I told him, like, "Good job, you got an immigration attorney." And I don't know why I told them that, but I was just so pissed off. I'm sure it made them happy. I'm sure they high-fived and
you know the law, and you're crying. It's like Doug and I, we don't know the law. I could have been sucking dick to get out of secondary because you are supposed to have, like, at least knowledge of the law that it's like, yeah, hey, look, guys, hey.
I do, and I had a thing with TSA, and I do feel very strongly that it's one of those things, like, these are agencies that are fucking people over every day, and no one knows what to say to them. So I feel like I'm in charge, even if I'm just a little bit fucked over, to kind of push, you know, we're supposed to hold them to some kind of standard.
When you're done, Hennigan, to this day, Hennigan has never gone through TSA
pre-check.
He says, scan. I opt out, which is like now that's 6-8 years old. We tried to start a website that was a fake gay website where that was a fetish. was opting out to get the pat down because you wanted a fucking TSA agent to touch you so you could masturbate later in the toilet to that. Like, just to shame them. And it was one of those things. I have a bit now that's kind of similar, but like, is it okay to use homophobia to stop? Like, TSA guy, I don't want to fucking pat him down because he's queer. He's going to jerk off thinking about this.
Dude, that didn't get legs. That boner's above his belt. Jesus. I'm not going over there.
I used to do that during the opt out times where I would opt out. And when they patted me down, I'd go, higher. I would do that. But then you get to an age where you go, I gotta get there on time.
Or you gotta get to your gate. Yeah, that's what happened last time. They had me through the when you say the scan, it's like the thing where you put your hands up like you're being robbed.
Yeah.
Interesting, right? And I was like, I'm not fucking doing that because Brendan Walsh never does it. He doesn't fucking care.
He's never ever gone through.
Remember, if you've checked your bag, that fucking plane ain't going.
Yeah.
So that I should have remembered
for that. For the listener, that works on the outbound flight, not on a connection. You've been on the plane, but on an outbound flight, you know when you hear in the airport, Bob Jones, your flight is leaving. Bob Jones, go to gate 22A, Bob Jones. And then you're sitting there drinking at the bar. Bob Jones, the flight is seriously leaving now. That's because he checked a bag. And on the outbound flight, Bob Jones checked a bag. If you don't get on the flight, they have to unload your bag and make everyone fucking wait. So, yeah, that works outbound, not connections. Keep that in mind.
The last time I went to the UK about 8 months ago, I flew out of San Francisco and I went through the millimeter wave, you know, the one where you put your hands up.
No, it was the robbing you, where you put your hands up and give up all your rights.
And I looked at the screen, and there was a dot right next to my nuts. And I had this.
A what?
A dot, like a laser, the screen they look at before they wave you on to see where there's anything. It's like right next to my nuts. I had nothing sort of metallic. But
you weren't spinal tapping it?
No. But this guy, I had the most, I don't know much about blokes fancying them, but they, an incredibly handsome 6'7" African, very dark black guy.
Lucky.
With an African accent. And he really fucking massaged my testicles and cock. I mean, it was like really fucking. And he was quite embarrassed. And I was just smirking, you know, the fucking Jesus.
He was in control of his hands. So I'm not sure he was too embarrassed.
The thing is, he was such a handsome guy. I think he was a handsome guy. I'm not very good at that sort of thing, but I think he was a handsome guy. He was 6'7" and black.
He was handsome. I'm trying to figure out who's more gay in this story.
So I don't know, but I suspect he's a really handsome man. He's like, fucking, this is San Francisco. You'll get guys putting fucking shotgun pellets down their underwear just so they can meet you through your scanner.
How much metal do I need before I get the pat down?
But that was very invasive. It was incredible. Yeah. I can't remember. I was going to say another scanning story as airports, but I've completely forgotten what it is.
You know, from now on, especially leaving Tucson, we don't get that a lot, though, do we, Doug? Is there a stand-up, hold-em, stick-em-up fucking scan in Tucson?
No, Tucson.
Tucson, best airport in the world.
Tucson Airport.
Fucking great.
It's so small that... you go, I know Bingo and I, we know all the Delta gate agents. They, hey, where you been? We haven't seen you in a while. And
shout out your Oxy, Delta.
I don't know how TSA works, but you never see the same TSA agents. I don't know how they,
you know. Rubber banded.
No, there's multiple gates. There's multiple gates, and they aren't specific to a concourse. They're going to go from one to
you
the
never
other.
Say, hey, good to see you again. Like,
never.
But the gate agents are the same ones all the time. I don't know if it's like McDonald's, Burger King turnover where
it's pay rate, man. You think the people at your gate that works for Delta is making what a TSA agent makes?
I have no idea.
The point is, you would assume
as much as I go through Tucson airport security, you would know a guy at that point. Because you hate a guy. If there's one guy that's a dick, you're going to remember him. And I don't remember anyone from TSA. I know the bartenders at every airport bar in Tucson. I know Delta intimately. Well, that makes it sound like I'm fucking them. And my wife just showed up. Jesus.
People at the old sushi bar in Tucson.
Yep.
Tracy and I would show up without you, and they're like, "Oh, Doug's friends are here."
Yep.
That's intimately. They knew you and your traffic.
My drink?
Yes.
Same thing?
Absolutely.
Vodka, well, soda, splash.
You drink what Doug drinks, right? Well, I guess I will this time.
Yeah. Connie? Yeah.
No, Tucson Airport's good. No, no queue at the air, but the TSA.
But it's weird that TSA people, we never see the same one twice.
The turnover is probably pretty high. I've had
people recognize me and go, "Hey, you're Doug Stanhope. I saw you on whatever." Joe Rogan. It's always Joe Rogan's podcast 90% of the time. Yeah, you were on Joe Rogan's podcast. I have a podcast myself.
What's it called?
It's shorter. Way shorter.
This is not the Joe Rogan podcast.
You don't have to think as much on my podcast. But you never see them twice, and it's like they kill them.
Yeah. They bury them to death on their pittance of a wage.
I used to always think, if it came down to it, I'd just work at fast food. Now it's like, well, if it came down to it, Border Patrol, TSA. I mean, that's the low. I think that's the lowest of the low. Is a TSA agent is not making no. I mean, no disrespect, but I think their entry level is so low. Like what they have, their threshold to actually get the job, and that's probably why the turnover is so high.
Who makes more, TSA agents or correctional officers?
Let me get back to that, Javelina. Let me get back to that because that's a good question. But as far as the lowest of the low, it depends on how much you perceive your own power. So you make a certain wage. There's nothing wrong with making a certain wage, but if you perceive that you have power that you're gonna put down on people because whatever you're making, who gives a fuck what you're making? You're trying to make a living, but if you're being a dick about it, yeah, fuck you. Just let shit slide.
Yep.
Yo, I saw a thing. It looks like a can of Coke. You forgot and you're fucking, yeah. I would gladly give up the odds of dying in a terrorist attack for just let me fucking go. Well, what if the plane blows up? Yeah, one out of a million might blow up. I'll take the odds. Just let me slide. Go ahead, whoever I just interrupted.
It was somebody in your head. You'd interrupted.
I just interrupted someone.
Chandler was talking about entry level
corrections. I'm still looking it up. TSA versus corrections, like entry level, what they make.
All right. Well, let's start on that. Corrections officers, especially California, have unions that are demanding that we keep people locked up longer. So all these fuckheads. Fuck you, corrections officers. I'll defend TSA on a level.
Oh, hold on a second. They're just taking a job. Our fucking government is the one that's hiring these companies. They're hiring these companies to basically, it's a commercial venture. I
broke my cigarette.
Oh, Jesus.
I tried to punch the microphone. Yeah. I punched my cigarette in
half. Then you lit a fucking... Oh, I thought you lit the filter.
No. I punched my cigarette.
The corrections officers are taking a job. And they can either be good at it or they can be unions. It's the government that is hiring these companies that fucking the correctional
private prisons.
Sean Bauer, which only, private prisons.
Yeah, which is a huge problem.
That's a big part of the problem.
All prisons are a problem when you fucking. All right.
You're saying there should be no prisons
right now.
You're saying there should be no prisons?
No, I'm saying that correctional officers have unions that are so strong with lobbyists that we need more people locked up because otherwise fucking Bill and Ted grown up excellent adventure have some thing to, they're going to slap a fucking billy stick across some bars and yeah, they want people locked up. They don't care why they're locked up. Well, listen to my next special. How much of creating jobs is at the expense of quality of life and prison guards are involved in that and fuck them. What are they going to do? Become truckers or vice versa? And I'm not going to spill my bit right here. We're drunk. I'm drunk. Valentina's the only one. Javelina's the only one that's not drunk. So close it up, whore.
Hold on a second. I think you want to be just slightly above. You probably want to be a TSA agent before a correctional officer. Entry level. Because it's about 30 to 40,000
American Prison by Shane Bauer, and before that was what's his name?
Paul Beatty.
No. He went. He was a prison guard. It's not Krakauer. It's the guy that was a.
Did you read it in Costa Rica?
No, I read the early one. Another guy that went to Sing Sing as a prison guard. That he references in American Prison as a catalyst to do his book. They both went undercover as prison guards, and they both talk about how being a prison guard, when that's half your awake life, is or more, when they give you overtime that you can't say no, you can't bow out of, where you're basically the same prisoner. You're stuck in a fucking prison, and the suicide rates of prison guards. But yeah, when you live in Stark, Florida, that's your option. You could either be a poet and go go down to Key West and whittle some scrimshaw monkey heads out of fucking coconuts, or you're going to be a prison guard. You can follow your dreams, which you won't, or you can be a prison guard, and that basically brings you down to an alternative side of prisoner versus you when you're in the same
in the UK prison guards. You need no qualifications at all and you leave school at 16 in the UK.
You got it. Bingo.
You need no qualifications.
I got extra copies of this book American Prison for you. I was waiting for someone to show up. You have to read this fucking book.
Will do.
All right, so I got a revised thing here. Corrections officers make between $19 and $24 an hour to start with. And then TSA starts at $16. I'm not shitting on
Shane
any of these
Bauer
people.
Went
I
up.
Want everyone to get a job. I'm just saying it's just an entry level.
Oh no, he was at like $10.20 an hour, and then they gave him a bump up like of a dollar.
Oh, the author who got the job at the
Shane Bauer American Prison, can't push it enough.
Yeah, and once again, like prison guards, there's good ones and there's bad ones. And if you're a good one, good
that's
for you.
Every position, but they don't allow you to be a good guy in a lot of these positions. Yeah. You will get demoted or fired for being a good one. Yeah. And
Denimore, I mean, and basically watching the show, that the guy who was like being cool to the prisoners, he ended up doing time. And he was just trying to be cool. He didn't do anything. I don't think he did anything wrong.
Well, you can't be
based
cool
on Ben Stiller's
prison doesn't work, and I don't have an option. And that's I'm staying alive to figure out the option for prisons.
Mental health treatment centers.
Well,
but that's another
huge
podcast.
Yeah, but that's a different diversion from. All right, what about the worst of the worst? How do you deal with? Do you keep them in a fucking cell that's a 6x9 and a supermax? In fucking Colorado, is that the best? I'm pro death penalty when it comes to that. Like, just fucking kill the guy because you're torturing him otherwise. Ted Bundy. Well, all right. There are a lot of other podcasts.
Get this lawyer out of here. Go search your car.
How do you be humane and deal with these people? On another podcast, we're going to kill this one.
Hold on a second, Doug. You've been in a country that handles like high security in a different way than America does when you went to
Scandinavian countries, but I don't know what the difference is.
You smoked cigarettes with these guys and they had hot plates and computers.
Yeah. How does it always end, Chaley? When Chad Shank and I, Chad Shank, God rest his soul on these evergreen podcasts, right. Just because he wasn't here.
Twitch.tv/HD_Fatty.
When at HD Fatty and I have these long, rambunctious, drunken, it always boils down to overpopulation. And again, it does. Scandinavia, they know the guy. In Bisbee, Arizona, you talk about homeless people in San Francisco. Here it was Brokey. I don't know what happened to him, but Brokey was the homeless guy with the "Will Work for Food" sign that said.
Didn't they shoot him around the back of Safeway?
No, that's a crazy guy. This was the guy that had the sign, and it said, "I have heart problems. I have disabilities. I'm willing to work. I have a bad back." I can't work, but I want work.
Yeah. It was, will work. I have experience in concrete, bad back and knees. I don't know. Everything is carrying heavy things or bending over. So it's basically.
He had three medical maladies that didn't work for food.
Will work for slip and fall on your property.
But the point is that we know our homeless guy because it's a small population.
Yeah.
Where if you're every argument that you have about how to fix society is less people. Because when you know the people, the stomping kittens, go find that fucking bit. I did a whole bit about this that no one listens to. Stomping kittens. If you have a kitten at home, you go, I can't wait to get home to Mr. Bimble's. But if there's a million kittens when you get home, you're putting on golf shoes going, fuck these kittens. There's no, yeah, so.
Sorry, can don't I just put a last add in? Go Muddy on. Bears. I think I did it at the start. But I moved to the States aged 40, so I've been eating sort of aged 42.
Crap.
Sort of candy bars that I've never had before. Butterfinger, which, bingo. Because I've never had one. Pretty damn good.
Bingo introduced.
Also, the other one was the payday bar. Never had one of those.
I love the payday. I got fired from a job because of payday.
Today, age 44, I've had the best candy I've
Muddy
ever
Bears.
Had.
Muddy Bears.
I had a Muddy Bear. Holy fuck shit. Do a free ad for those guys. It's amazing. Listen,
you just did.
I've evidently talked about Muddy Bears randomly on the podcast to the point where the people that run Muddy Bears listen to the podcast and they go, you've mentioned us at least three times. And they sent me a case of Muddy Bears. I'm like, how fucking random is that? Like I have a random enough audience, but the fact that the Muddy Bears people and they sent me a case. And since then, of all the things that we've ever promoted, everyone is like, Muddy Bears are fucking great on Twitter.
Yeah.
Fucking Muddy Bears. These are great. Like, no one knows about Muddy Bears. Yes, they do now.
Hey, and you're a niche are you talking audience. About Muddy Bears on Twitter at Muddy_Bears?
Yeah, keep doing it. Yeah. This is not a paid sponsor. In a way, they are because they send us free Muddy Bears, and we
let's be honest. Let's so be good. Honest. It's someone in the warehouse that alerted admin to hey, maybe you should just say it will cost you no effort. There's no sweat equity in here. Just fucking say Stanhope. Here's five cases.
Jonathan said, "Do you mind if I try these Muddy Bears?" And I go, yeah. And someone else said, no, you're going to, you said,
I said,
Chaley said, nah, you're going to eat the whole box.
Take the whole thing.
And he did.
He ate the
entire fucking box.
You just gave me a stare that said, you can have two, but then wrap them up and put them back in the box.
I'm drinking castor oil to get Muddy Bears out of my system.
Muddy Bears are fucking fantastic.
All right. That's a good closer. Thank you, Muddy Bears, our unofficial sponsor. We have an official sponsor. No, don't say it, Stanhope. We'll get back to that. Hey, thank you, Javelina Restrepo. Jonathan Short, Tom Konopka, and Greg Chaley, and Bingo just showed up. So we're going to go talk to Bingo. Maybe we do another podcast.
Hey, hold on a second. Money Bears has no fucking followers. They got like 2,500 people following. Oh, no.
Get the termites
of it. 479 people following. I mean, come on. Let's fucking just bump this up. Go to at @Muddy_Bears. Just tell them you heard about them on the Doug Stanhope podcast.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.